Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show.
Hey, you want to head down to Nashville and talk to a Grammy Award-winning songwriter about how he lives his perfect days and achieves massive success in 34.7 hours per week of work? I want you to meet Seth Mosley. He's one of my coaching clients. I'm Craig Valentine. Welcome to Early to Rise Radio. This is going to be a different episode, probably our coolest guest ever. So let's jump into this and see how Seth has two kids, a happy marriage, and multiple businesses, all in under 35 hours of work per week. And he takes 4 weeks off to go to Sweden every summer. Let's go. Seth, you are probably the coolest guest ever. So why don't you tell everybody listening about what you do?
Well, that's a high introduction. You've had some pretty awesome people on your show. So to be the coolest.
Yeah, but not cool. Cool. You're awesome and cool. It's just uncool me.
Well, I'm still working on that. I hopefully I'm increasing cool points by the year. But blessed to be working with you as a coach. But yeah, I'm a songwriter and music producer. I have a company called Full Circle Music. Been blessed to work on a lot of the artists' records that I grew up listening to and won Grammy Awards and have had over 28 number ones that we've written and produced. And a big part of what we're doing now is helping up and coming artists through our Full Circle Music Academy, as well as working with developing some writers on the publishing side. So lots going on. Very, very thankful for all of it.
And so how many awards do you have? Like, what are the cool words that?
Yeah. Two Grammy Awards, 28 number ones, 2014 CSAC Songwriter of the Year. There's probably 8 or 9 Dove Awards, a couple Juno Awards, which
yeah,
familiar with up there in Canada.
Oh yeah.
It's really mind blowing. Honestly, I kind of still can't believe it.
Well, how the heck did you get started down that path? And what did you want to be when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a football player. And then I went out and played football for the first time when I was one, or in first grade, and I got tackled. And then I was like, that's not for me. I didn't know music was even a thing you could do. I grew up in a small town, Circleville, Ohio, not really a music family. I always loved music. My parents would take us to concerts and we would always have music in church, and I ended up playing in church and kind of got my start doing that. But
what was your first instrument?
First instrument was piano when I was 6. I took lessons for 3 years, quit because I hated reading music and just doing the practice, which I kick myself for now. But piano, and then I got my first guitar Christmas of 6th grade.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was off to the races after that.
Well, what does that mean? You started bands in high school?
Yeah, I was in bands, really bad ones. I was producing. The thing that really kind of took off was I was producing other friends' bands in this little makeshift recording studio that my parents let me set up in their basement.
Wow.
And one of those, when I was, I think, in my senior year of high school, one of those got the attention of a kind of local regional level producer who called me. And this was, I was supposed to go to college. I was enrolled to go to college in Nashville for music business. And he heard one of my things I had done and calls me and is like, hey, you want to come work for me? And so I had to have that conversation with my parents, who were not super happy, saying, hey, I'm going to take this job working in this studio, doing the thing that I'm probably going to, you know, that I'm going to college to do, but he's going to pay me to do it and I'm going to learn how to do it. So started. Yeah, that was really my 10,000 hours right there, was just jumping straight in right when I graduated high school.
Wow.
Working on the studio side.
Cool. So then now today, fast forward, you have two kids, right?
Two kids. I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old and a beautiful wife.
Yeah. So you got two kids, great marriage. You write songs, you run a couple of businesses, and you track the numbers, and it's in under 35 hours per week, right?
Yeah. My average this year, and this is a good time that you're asking me, but regardless of when people are listening to it, average for 2020 was 34.74 hours a week.
So how do you hold it all together and be productive with, you know, with a great home life and then so much on the go?
Well, man, got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I think a lot of the perfect week formula stuff, and, you know, this is not a, you know, thing that you're telling me to say, but it's been a big, big part of just structuring our weeks. We sit down, you know, every Sunday I do my schedule, go over it with my wife, say, hey, is this sound okay? Do things need tweaked? There's usually always some things on my schedule every week that I end up either cutting or shortening or, you know, rescheduling. And really,
do you have particular parameters around how you say no?
It depends on, you know, I do a few different things. You know, I'm producing records. So really the parameter there, you know, we just have kind of a minimum threshold of what clients need to pay in order to get access to me as a producer. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty easy on that side. On the writing side, it's a little bit different because you never know when you're writing what the thing is that's going to be the hit. So it's always a little bit of educated guessing, but it, you know, like today I wrote with a new artist named Lainey Gardner, who, you know, people, if they don't know her now, they're going to know her in about 3 months. She had a big viral TikTok video that blew up and just came out with a David Guetta remix and signed a Wow. Republic. So you're like, okay, this is a new artist, but it makes sense to work with somebody like her because she's got, you know, Kevin Jonas, Jonas Brothers' dad managing her, and Joe Jonas is behind her, and she, you know, it's got this millions of views going on. So she's like one that makes sense to invest in, but that's sort of how you think of it is, okay, if it's a new artist, they better have some things going on in order to justify having a writing session. On the academy side, I mean, this is something that we talk about on, you know, a lot of our coaching calls, but just a lot of my time is, you know, in content creation, doing actual webinars, doing the actual selling and just interacting with people who are in our academy world. So, that's always a no-brainer for me. It's just It's basically I've been giving those about 2.5 days a month has been my quota for the academy days, but it may increase as things have kind of started to take off a little bit around that.
That's cool. So let's go around the writing songs. Walk us through the process and how are you guys creative in a way in which you have to be scheduled, right? Because you have to schedule these writing sessions from, you know, 1 till 6 or whatever on a Thursday afternoon a month in advance. Well, how the heck do you guys get the most out of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, today's a really good example. You know, Lainey came in at 11 o'clock. We had basically an 11 to 3 o'clock schedule because we have this interview at 3 o'clock. So I knew we got 4 hours. You know, I've never met her before. So we spend the first hour just chatting, I'm getting to know her, getting to hear what's her vibe. I don't prepare anything before sessions. Usually I kind of try to come in just blank slate, and that's sort of my role in the process. Sometimes I'll have a song title or a musical idea, but like today we just started something completely from scratch. And the short answer is you just do it. You just sit down and write, and you know that by 3 o'clock we have to be done with a song and have it recorded by 3 o'clock. So it's very fast. It's a fast paced process. And sometimes it takes a few sessions depending on who the writer is. I work with another guy named Rodney Atkins, who's a country artist who, you know, he likes to take his time on writing sessions. And so often it might take 3 or 4, you know, 3-hour chunks to get a song done, but that's okay too. It's just, it's about you said it, it's scheduling your creativity. It's not waiting for inspiration to strike. Every pro that I know who does it, that's how it is. It's just a date on a calendar. And you know, Daniel Ek, the Spotify CEO.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great quote on it that, you know, I wrote this down. I'm probably going to print it out somewhere, but you know, he says, I write out what my daily, weekly, monthly goals are. And every evening I check how I'm doing. I allocate time to match the goals. And then he says, people think that creativity is this free spirit that has no boundaries, but no, actually the most creative people in the world schedule their creativity. So I just think that's a great framework.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've written down that quote too, because, you know, one of my mentors says, if you're a professional, you've got to be able to turn it on and off. I mean, only amateurs wait for that inspiration. So what's the first 10 minutes look like of a songwriting thing?
Well, I mean, in today's case, it's just hanging out. You're not even writing. You're just talking. You're just, hey, what's going on? What are you vibing on? What songs are, you know, speaking to you? What are you, sometimes somebody will come in pissed about something, like, you know, I wrote with an artist recently that had just like had their apartment broken into the night before. So there was a lot of emotion kind of coming in that morning. And so you kind of just tap into that, funnel that. And then once you kind of get a song title idea or a musical idea, you just sort of hit the ground running with it. But it's usually always just talking, at least the first 10 to 30 minutes, depending on how well you know the person.
Have you had any magical songwriting sessions, and, you know, do those things share any commonalities?
I mean, there are some that are just like, man, this thing just feels like a giant smash, but more often than not, I don't know. I just don't think we ever know. Like, it's less about looking for a magic feeling in the moment. And sometimes you kind of get that, but to be honest, my goal is to get that every single day.
Got it.
Like, I want that. I want it to feel like, man, this thing, I'm proud to put my name on it. I love it. This could be the magic thing that blows up. And so that's always the goal at the end of every session. It's not so much, you know, and yeah, it doesn't happen all the time. I had a session earlier this week that we got like half of a song done, and it was just slow, but it's all right. We're going to revisit it in, you know, in a month or two, and we'll probably finish it out and it'll be great. So.
Well, so then now, you know, for everybody listening, you're like, well, I'm not a songwriter, but, you know, we do create emails and videos. So what are some of your creativity tips for all of us who have to create anything?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I always say is garbage in, garbage out. It's just like what you eat, you know, you are what you eat. So how are you inspiring yourself? I mean, if you're sitting, listening to crap music, if you're watching junk Netflix shows, if you're whatever, not reading good literature, you're probably going to output crap. And that's the same with songwriting. It's the same with really anything. You know, you gotta be, if you're writing emails and copy, you gotta be, you know, who are you reading? Who are you following? You gotta have kind of a reference point of inspiration, where to start off from. And you can kind of take the best of all of the things that you're inspired by and, you know, put your spin on it and make it your own. I think that's really what any of the pros do, and whether it's songwriting or copy or any field like that.
What are some of your favorite inspirations?
As it musically?
Yeah.
Man, I always should have a better prepared response for this, because it always catches me off guard. But usually, I don't know, some favorite songwriters. I mean, there's always like Max Martin in the pop world is the top of the top, you know, just from what he does on a prolific pop songwriting level.
And have you ever talked to him about what he does?
I haven't. If you know him, I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
He's on my bucket list.
There you go.
I love Ryan Tedder's stuff. I mean, he's a great writer and producer, a great artist, in the country world. I mean, I love, one of the guys guys and gals I've been able to work with recently is Nicole Gallion and Rodney Clausen, who are both, they're married, but I think they're some of the best songwriters in all of the business. And I'm really inspired by them. Yeah. You know, on a writing level, I mean, just reading books and stuff like that. Probably the latest has been just revisiting the Alchemist, you know, that's mm-hmm. just such a classic piece of literature. It's just so rich, so well written.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about the Songwriter Academy. Tell everybody what that is, what your role is, and how you built that up and are able to have it run nicely in 2.5 days for you a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great team for one, but it definitely didn't start that way. It was actually a pretty organic thing. I just sort of knew a few years ago, probably 4 years ago now, that I wanted mentorship and teaching to be a part of my legacy in the music business and just in the world in general. I know that my shelf life as a songwriter or producer is going to have a finite term. Hopefully, you know, I'll be around a lot longer as a writer producer, but I know that after I'm done or whenever I decide to be finished, I'm really excited at the possibility of having a legacy of other people that have kind of come up under me and through, whether it's our publishing or academy, but they've learned some of the tips and tricks from me, and I've been able to kind of help steer them on their way. So that was sort of the why of it. I just never had that really coming up. You know, there wasn't really great courses or YouTube or podcasts like there is now. So yeah, that's the academy. I started it essentially with a podcast because that was what a friend of mine suggested doing, which in hindsight, I get what he was saying. It's like, well, you got to build an audience first. And so that was kind of the first thing. Second thing was creating a course. I made a music production course with my co-producer. We did a bunch of you learn all the things that you got to learn on the front end, like what's a lead magnet, what's an email list, what's text marketing. And so I just started building an email list, just Facebook ads and these little PDF lead magnet things. And we ended up selling an event. It was a 30 person event, boot camp. And that was where it was kind of a test. I was like, am I going to like doing this? Or am I just going to this is a one and done thing. And it turns out I loved it. I love the energy of new people coming to the industry, getting to share with them the things that I know from my failures and successes. And out of that, one of the guys that attended our first event is now the guy that's running the academy, is Logan. He was one of the VIP ticket holders for that first event. And literally it was a life-changing moment for him. And I love, honestly, that most of the people are kind of our rock stars in the academy. They've come through academy things, and that's just how you find the best people. So honestly, now the way that you spend 2.5 days a month is having a really great team with a very clear boundary on what are the goals that we're working on and what are the things we're not working on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. And then, so how does the business side of it work? Like, how, you know, obviously if you want to do the organic way, then YouTube and podcasts and Instagram, but you guys have the Facebook ads working. So give us a little bit of behind the scenes on how that works. And, you know, people pay X to join, and then is there a membership and stuff after that? Like, once somebody gets through the course, what's the next part of the business?
Yeah. So far our entire business model has been really built on one course and one traffic source. And that's what, you know, you hear that from a lot of experts in the business, and it really is the way to go. It's mm-hmm. one product, one traffic source, Facebook ads, free webinar, sell the course at the end. And it's just been a great way to grow our list while making, you know, pretty good profitability at the same time. So we don't have we have the beginnings, the inkling, the beta of what will be an MRR product, a membership of sorts. And that's called the Music Mentorship Club. And then it comes with a tool that I think ultimately we're playing with. It's a piece of software that's a tool for songwriters. And I think that's the thing that may have the potential to become that MRR, that recurring revenue source. But
yeah, that kind of is like the golden egg that, businesses are chasing, is that consistent recurring revenue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cause all the webinars we do, it's all live and I love doing them, but you're basically only limited by the time of day. And basically for us, it's been the amount of leads that Facebook will give us. Mm-hmm. At any time there's 100 versions of an ad campaign running and we're maxed. Our maximum is like millions of dollars a day, but Facebook, because we have it so targeted, it just won't, for whatever reason, that's one of the hurdles we're working on trying to overcome right now. So it's just how many leads can we buy, basically.
And so you run this business in 2.5 days of your own time. Walk us through the leadership meetings and rhythms that you have there that have allowed you to help Logan step into his best self.
Yeah. I mean, again, credit where credit is due. We've been through a few different versions of kind of a entrepreneurial business operating system. And so we started with a thing called 4DX, the four disciplines of execution.
Which was that against Covey?
Covey. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a great, great program. I could see maybe bringing it back in the future, but what I've realized about 4DX is that it's almost like a plug-in on top of another operating system. Like if you have a very clear issue that needs solved, 4DX is great for that. Like maybe you have a really low customer retention rate or your churn rate's really low or something like that. Like 4DX could help you pinpoint and really laser focus energy around fixing something. But it isn't what I've found in doing it for a year and a half is it's not enough of a daily operating system. So we've kind of adopted really what is in your guys's Early to Rise university. And so we're doing weekly GSNR meetings. We're doing, at this point, it's been about a monthly alignment meeting with the whole team.
Yeah.
We're doing, Logan's doing daily standups with the academy. And then we have our quarterly planning meetings. And that really is the basis of our, management and business operational structure from a schedule standpoint.
Right, right. Awesome. And any mistakes that you made along the way early on that, people listening who are just becoming leaders in their business could learn from?
Tons of mistakes, man. where do you want to start?
Maybe the biggest one.
biggest mistake. You know what? I think I always go back to this one. I think it's just starting too many different things at the same time.
Yeah, that's classic.
That's a pretty easy, obvious one. And fortunately, it's a couple of them, or really the academy being one of them, that's really panning out. But we've also had to kind of scale back our efforts. We had like a record label side of what we were trying to do, and we just figured out that was a layer that we had to peel back, and maybe we'll revisit it in the future. But the thing that I've kind of learned is, you can't really just hire somebody as a quote investor or an owner and expect a business to just happen because you hired somebody to build it. Mm-hmm. You have to be very hands-on.
And what then
happen?
Right. Yeah. So then if we switch back over to the family thing, because I think I cut you off a little bit, but you and your wife plan on Sunday and you have that conversation and communication, and then we talked about saying no to some things. What else happens? What else is the magic in that communication so that everybody's on the same page?
Well, yeah, I just can't say enough good things. I mean, if you ask my wife, like, she'd probably be the best the best testimonial for this. But it's just the difference of, like, it's not even what you're saying, it's just the fact that you have that weekly catch up and you're on the same page. And, mm-hmm. If there's something that's come up, like there might be, hey, I've got to do this webinar. I might be a little later on Monday night. Like it's a chance to get all that out on the table and you can kind of, make some compromises, do a little marital negotiating, if that makes sense. And yeah, I don't know. I just think the communication of it is everything. You know, that's probably the biggest killer of relationships and marriages is just bad communication. And obviously planning around your schedule is a huge part of that. I can't totally even remember the full question, so I'm probably dancing around.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was really like, what were some of the, you know, personal habits and routines that allow you guys to have you only work the 34.79 hours or something per week in these businesses? What other daily communication do you have with your wife?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try to send her even just a midday text. How you doing? I'm not good about doing it every day, but that's a big one. In the morning, we always have breakfast together. That's kind of a non-negotiable. 3 or 4 days a week, we're working out together. We have a trainer that comes out for a couple sessions every week. So that's, you know, we're with each other. We're of course communicating during those times, and then getting the girls to bed at night, you know, we trade off. And then after they're in bed, that's kind of when we can have our time together. And we recently just built a sauna. So we're, you know, having a lot of great little, just one-on-one, no distractions, just hop in the sauna and then go to bed after that. It's just, it's a really great daily rhythm. And then of course weekends, we have all the weekends together, and very big on vacation. You know, I think we probably took, I don't know how many days this year. I could get you the exact number, but that's something that wasn't naturally in my nature. I didn't grow up with kind of that as a example of how things were supposed to be. It was, you know, my dad was a doctor and worked really hard and worked a lot of long days, and, you know, obviously provided a great life for me, great life for us, and a great start. So I'm really grateful for that.
Well, but it's awesome that you did the work, for sure.
Yeah, you did the work. You know, but at some point, you know, I met my wife, and she's from Sweden, which is I always call it a cousin of Canada. And just
in a way
it is. And I just love that the mentality isn't live to work. It's work to live. And that's something I've had to flip over the course of 10 years being married, and I'm still learning it. Mm-hmm. That the work is important, and it's fun. Like, especially if you do something that you love to do, that's probably the hardest part, is not like having to motivate yourself to work. It's having to draw boundaries the other way around.
Absolutely. So then, So one question I wanted to ask you, Seth, is you do 2 weeks, or is it 3 weeks in Sweden with absolutely no work?
Usually it's a month in the summertime. This year was 2 weeks, and we couldn't do it because of, you know, COVID and everything. We ended up going later in the year. But usually it's the whole month of July.
And that sounds like a dream to a lot of people. So there must be extra preparation in advance. And then how do you deal with, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh my God, but when you come back, it's going to be an onslaught. So what's the mental and leadership preparation to do that?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, it's team, right? You know, I mean, on production, the good news is a lot of what production is it's very project-based. So if you're in the middle of a project, you try to finish up as much on the project as possible. But if you work in a field like music, the truth is like, there's no such thing as a musical emergency. That's the thing that we always kind of say is,
right,
you know, we're dealing with music. It's important, but it's not life or death.
I tell people I'm not in the emergency business either. And if you have an emergency and you're calling me, it's the wrong number, because an emergency has blood involved and you need to call the hospital.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where it's just all about perspective. So, thankfully, you know, we've got, I have a co-producer. We do try to schedule things to where if I'm out for, you know, a few weeks like that, that he's not out then, and that whenever he's gone, I'm around. So we can kind of plug the gaps for each other if anything needs actually done.
Yeah.
But then on the songwriting side, it's like, there's always going to be another day to write another song. It's just, there's nothing there that's really that urgent. And for Academy, you know, that we have some really good operating rhythms within the team where, you know, I mean, we've even gotten to the point where our team members, which this has been one of the most exciting things for me, is to not only for me as the business owner be able to do that, but X was able to take off 2 weeks. And I love that. We don't have like a 2 weeks off vacation time policy. We just have a policy, much like the Netflix model, where it's just take vacation, take time off when you need it. And yeah. I love being able to see Logan take 2 weeks off to work on a side project, or X take 2 weeks off just to hang with his wife. Like that's part of the joy of owning a business, is being able to kind of provide that for people, where else would they be able to get that?
And then, so X, just for everybody listening, is your co-producer?
Yes. Yeah. He kind of oversees, I always tell people, he does all the kind of the heavy lifting on the production side.
Got it. Okay. And then, so just in terms of your personal planning and daily routines, like what's your magic time? What's your wake up time? What's your morning routine?
Yeah, it's about 6 o'clock every morning. Morning routine varies depending on the days that we have our workouts. We've been trying to do 4 or 5 workouts a week, but usually we start with making the girls some breakfast. We'll go out to our garage where we have our little gym, do our workouts, eat some breakfast, and just head out to work. It's not really that much more fancy than that. I have been over the last month doing a 10-minute meditation every morning when I wake up, and that actually has made a big difference.
What about on the flip side of how do you go from songwriting or meeting or whatever to being super dad? What's your transition?
You know what the best thing was actually moving out into the country where I didn't own a car for 5 years. I just Ubered everywhere. Mm-hmm. And my studio was at home. The best thing that we ever did was we moved out to the country to where now I actually have like a 20-minute drive or a 30-minute drive in between. Uh-huh. And usually that's my, just put on an audiobook, put on a podcast, and just decompress. I found for me that having that drive is super, super critical.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I was just talking about with another high performer about that yesterday, and they said, you know, people that work at home don't have that buffer, but the drive alone is for most people. So glad that you made that move. And another thing that you had mentioned earlier is that you work out with your wife. Michelle and I work out too, and it's another great opportunity for communication.
It is. Yeah. You're obviously, you know, breathing heavy and sweating, but you're still talking, and we look at it as kind of quality time together.
And then quality time with your kids, what does that look like, and how do you ensure it is quality and, you know, not checking phones or anything?
Well, yeah, you just put your phone in the other room. I mean, that's the, you know, we've got our spots in our bedroom on the dresser where they go. You know, we don't ever have phones in the bed. That's like just an absolute no. Mm-hmm. But then yeah, phones on the dresser when playing with the kids, like that's what it is. There's just no phones. So you're not distracted, and you know, playing with them, they're awesome. They're high energy, and it's kind of like tag team wrestling, right? Like when I get home, my wife has been with the kids all day, so she's handing them off to me, and I'm playing with them for a while before dinner. And I don't know that there's any super magic sauce other than just don't allow yourself opportunity to be distracted from them, whether that means having your phone or having other things going on. We don't have TV on in the background. We try to limit the screen time with that.
So you guys are obviously passing on very important lessons to them through your actions. Are there any other like additional lessons that you plan on passing your kids, like life lessons that are the Seth Mosley life lessons?
I mean, the exercise thing, honestly, I mean, they're in there in the garage with us the whole time. Like that's not a thing that we did as a family growing up. And that's a big thing that I want them to grow up exercising, just mm-hmm. having that as a part of what they do all the time. That's part of it. Just eating healthy, like having a good relationship with food. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of us grow up not really having. Hard work and really just having good ethics, you know, good morals and good ethics. How do you treat people well, and how do you seek to serve before being served. And that's really kind of been my mantra in business and life. And I hope that that's the big thing that they take, or one of the big things that they take away.
Oh, that's a super powerful lesson. Like, what were some of your mentors and the big lessons that were passed on to you, whether in high school or whether it was in, you know, jumping into the music business itself?
Mentors,
did you have, and what were the big lessons that you got from them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say there's probably three big ones. The first would be my high school, middle school youth pastor at church growing up. And, you know, for me, I spent tons and tons of time with him, and just his whole thing, our whole thing, every Wednesday night, our youth group was called First Priority. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a big thing, is like having making the main thing the main thing. And he was just always really good about that. Like, it was never about crazy fancy production. It was just, let's get together, let's hang, let's, you know, talk about, you know, our faith and the stuff that was really important to us. And so I guess having priorities in check was a big thing from him, even down to the name of our little meetup being First Priority. I met another guy, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years ago now, but another guy named Kyle Wilson, who really has kind of helped steer me towards this world of, you know, teaching and mentorship and a lot of our academy stuff. You know, the podcast was kind of his thing that he encouraged me to do in the beginning, start the podcast. You know, has taught me a lot about, you know, marketing. And he was the guy that launched Jim Rohn International and did promotions for Og Mandino and did Brian Tracy events, and was kind of one of the Darren Hardy. A lot of those guys kind of got their start working with them. And so really just like the network, I think, that he has opened up of people that I've been able to work with and learn from. He has me come and speak at, you know, his masterminds from time to time. And yeah, just can't say enough good things about Kyle. I would say, from a standpoint of just being a connector and learning to serve others, Kyle has kind of exemplified that for me.
Well, I guess the network is a huge, huge thing in your industry. So talk about how you grow a network with integrity in any world, let alone the music world.
Well, yeah, you just, you know, that's the thing. You can't treat a relationship like a networking opportunity. You have to treat a relationship like a relationship. And those are two different things. You know, it's not everything's a transaction. Everything is a relationship, but not everything's a transaction. And so if you're looking at things from a very long-term perspective of, it's a very small world. Like, just, I mean, if you want to just like go granular, let's talk about the music business. It is a small, small industry. So one of our team members is in the process of leaving, but you never know. Like, we may be working with each other next week on something else. It's a small world. So you never, never, never want to burn bridges if you can help it. But also, just, you know, what do you do in a relationship? Like, how do you make a good relationship? You put the other person first. You make time for them. You listen more than you talk. You look for ways to serve them. And it's just the same. It's the same thing in networking in the industry. It's really no different. Mm-hmm. I think people who are opportunistic can kind of tend to look at the short term, like, what can this person do for me? And I think those are the ones that end up burning out, you know, or they, you know, they're the ones that burn bridges, and people don't want to work with them after 10 years because they've burned all their bridges. So
yeah, they might be hot at the start, but then, you know, then everything blows up.
Yeah, you can do things. You can definitely achieve success in a short term by, you know, doing that. But it's certainly not a way to live your life by.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you about, Seth, is the power of accountability. How do you use it in leading your team? And then how do we use it to keep you on track through the coaching?
Yeah, accountability is huge, man. I need it. That's why I hired a personal trainer. That's why one of the reasons why I wanted to start working with you, just to have that accountability. I mean, I think certain people are motivated by different things. For me, I'm very much motivated by, if I've committed something to somebody, I do not want to let them down, and my word is my word. So we, yeah, in our, obviously in our coaching program, you know, we have our weekly accountability questions, and that's super helpful. Because it makes you do the hard work of thinking too.
Yeah.
Which I think is, if you don't have accountability, you don't have to do that work sometimes.
Yeah. Most people are going to skip that.
Yeah. So you actually have to think, what's this upcoming week need to look like? And what are the most important things? What are the things that I failed at last week? You know? So for our business and operation, you know, I mean, we use the GSNR as the goal setting and review meetings, where it really is about weekly accountability. Just, what were your goals last week? Did you accomplish them? Why not? Or if not, why not? And then what are your goals this week? And it's really that simple. So, you know, same for me having a trainer. You know, I'm not going to bail on my workouts. I know he's coming to my house. So
he knows where you live.
He knows where I live.
Cool. And then, so the last thing I want to ask you is, what's next? What's next for you and, you know, in 2021 for the Songwriting Academy and for the songwriting?
Man, I think 2021 is just all about growth. It's more of the same. It's just a lot more of it.
But sticking to the 35 hours a week.
Yeah, sticking to 35. You know, Lord willing, the world kind of gets back to normal with this COVID, you know, the vaccine and everything. And go back to, you know, probably spending a good bit of time in the summer in Sweden with my wife's family and doing some travel there. But yeah, growing the academy. I mean, we currently have about 30,000 people in our world on that. And I'd love for that to be 90,000 by the end of the year.
That's awesome.
So that we're really primed to head into 2022 strong. And you know, just songwriting is never a thing, and production is never a thing that you do and then you're done. It's just something that's always in your system. Mm-hmm. And
it's like writing for me.
It's like writing. Yeah. You just, the only thing that I want for this year, and probably you too, is just, I want my songs and the things I write to be better this year than they were last year. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. And as long as you're beating your personal records, quote, then I think that's really what winning looks like.
So then when you work with Lainey, like, well, let's say you guys wrote a song in one session, what's the timeline on when that pops onto Spotify?
Man, in her case, her stuff's been crazy quick. Now that she's signed a record deal, it may be a little bit slower, but, you know, in any normal scenario, she may end up writing another 10 or 20 songs. And if it's one that this is one that kind of lasts through the pile, then she might decide, okay, let's go ahead and produce it and put it out. That may be a few months from now. And then once production's finished, it's probably another couple months before it's released. So it's a lot of delayed gratification, you know?
Yeah.
Might still be 6 months or 12 months before anything happens with it.
Wow. Well, that's definitely not an emergency business. That's for sure. But on the flip side, it can be a little bit slow going at times.
Yeah, you have to be very motivated by the love of just doing it. Because even if it gets cut in 12 months, as a songwriter, you're not going to get paid for another 18 months after that.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're talking about short-term businesses, this is not the to get into.
No. But it is exciting, and it was fascinating to hear the inside and to also get your insights on, you know, how you live a great life, Seth. So any other words you want to share with our listeners today about living a great life?
Man, I mean, you know, I don't know how far I can kind of go in this direction for your audience. But for me, I mean, the biggest thing for me is my faith and being grounded. You know, a lot of people kind of call it a higher power. I mean, I've grown up believing that, you know, God and Jesus really are the center of what we and my family kind of anchor everything on. And so I don't know. I just pity people who don't have a faith, have a higher power, have that God to kind of keep them grounded.
It's that North Star for you, right? I mean, it makes every decision pretty simple and easy, I guess.
Exactly. It's a very simple filter. And I don't know, I would just say for me, that's probably the number one, not probably, it is the number one most important thing. And it's kind of what keeps me grounded and keeps my team grounded too.
Well, that's fascinating and appreciate you sharing that and, you know, sharing everything here. So Seth, we really look forward to seeing the songs that you co-wrote and, you know, you're kind of, you know, you don't get the publicity, but it's awesome to have heard all the stories behind this. And we thank you so much. And I look forward to our next coaching call and wishing you all the best and success in 35 hours a week or less in 2021.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Craig. I appreciate having me on.
All right. That was a lot of fun. I must admit, a lot of those questions were just my personal interest about how songs are written and how all that stuff works. But I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I get to talk to Seth every month. He's one of my coaching clients, has been for like 18 months now. It's really, really cool. And again, I've been able to be inspired by him in how, you know, quote unquote, little he works and how much success he achieves. So if you want to be like Seth and make more money and work less, then head over to craigvalentine.com/apply to work with me this year to do the same as Seth. All right, you want to be successful like Seth? Head over there, and I can't wait to work with you soon.